While Wall Street's feeling some fresh new optimism. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Stocks have been rallying since President-elect Trump won. Part of what's moving markets lately is not Trump, though, but also relief that companies are finally showing better profit pictures. Karen Cavanaugh is senior market strategist at Voya Investment Management.
We were in an earnings recession for the past five quarters. We saw that drop in oil prices. We saw some instability in China, worry about the Fed, stronger dollar. That was all a headwind to earnings. But over the last couple of quarters, we've seen those headwinds kind of dissipate. And across the board, we've seen earnings rally a little bit. We've seen top line revenues increase as well. So we're finally returning to positive earnings growth. Maybe not in the energy sector yet, but in the other sectors. And that strong earnings growth is going to help the market move forward, because that really is the underlying current underneath the stock market.
Samsung is making a play for your car. It's buying auto parts supplier Harman for $8 billion. The move gives the electronics company a seat at the table as cars become higher tech and more connected. The Trump transition team is promising to roll back some of the financial regulations put in place after the economic crisis. We are covering a lot of different angles of that. The one we're focused on this morning is the future of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Let's talk about what's ahead now with Lawrence Baxter, a Duke University law professor who follows financial regulations. Lawrence, let's give a little context first, because CFPB is relatively new. Politicians on all sides have strong feelings about it. How do they rate its performance so far?
For those who have been very much behind the agency, it's considered very successful. It's levied enormous amounts of fines on different entities, and most publicized recently was Wells Fargo. It has also been a financially very strong agency because it's unusual funding system, which is that it is funded out of revenue from the Federal Reserve System that does not require congressional appropriation. And then that brings me to the opponents who believe that it has been an overzealous prosecutorial agency, that there's not enough accountability, and that the CFPB has overreached in areas beyond even the jurisdiction that is defined specifically in the Dodd-Frank Act.
Now, CFPB has been this kind of pinata for congressional Republicans, but with President Trump in the White House, they can have the power to do more about it. What's going to happen to it in 2017?
It is going to be a bitter battle because the founders, as it were, Senator Warren and many other supporters of the CFPB, are deeply invested in it, and they will point to some very serious abuses that were not properly policed before the crisis. On the other hand, Congressman Jeb Hensarling, who's chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, has a what was very much a placeholder bill, the Financial Choice Act, and has now become front and center as the primary vehicle for reform. And there's one whole provision or one whole title of that bill that would fairly significantly reform the agency.
There will be people listening now who are skeptical of big banks, especially after the Wells Fargo scandal. We should say you've been a banker in a past life, so don't take this personally. But what do you say to folks who are worried that a weaker CFPB would mean consumers would get ripped off by financial institutions?
I would say they ought to be worried, because it depends what comes out of this reform process. For example, if the financing structure is changed to one that requires congressional appropriations, it is quite possible that they would not have the same influence over consumer lending that they have now. But I think the real opposition is going to come, as it has done ever since Dodd-Frank, from the Chamber of Commerce, because they are the ones who are least regulated and are most vulnerable to an aggressive CFPB set of activities.
Okay, we'll see what happens next. Lawrence Baxter at Duke, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Mark. Thank you.
Economic forces are opening a gaping hole in the job market, one that raises concerns about our health. There is a severe shortage of qualified nurses in America as waves of experienced professionals retire or cut back hours. Marketplace's Adam Allington explains.
This is a story about supply and demand. On the demand side of the equation, there just aren't enough nurses to fill open positions.
But this is just the beginning. We are about to see, in the next 10 years, the biggest shortage we've ever seen.
Albert Wu is a doctor and professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. He says nearly 1 million of the nation's 3 million nurses are over 50.
A third of them are slated to retire in the next 10 years.
On the supply side, the cost for training new nurses is going through the roof. In fact, it's dissuading people from applying, says Bonnie Castillo of National Nurses United, the largest nurses union in the country.
It is not uncommon for us to hear nurses coming out of a nursing school with debts as high as $70,000+.
Castillo says it's time to consider subsidies for nursing school, especially considering that by 2025 we'll have 70 million people over 65, many of whom will have chronic illnesses. In Washington, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, a lot of Americans apparently needed to escape reality after the election, as last weekend was massive at the box office. Comscore data show numbers up around 50% from the same weekend last year. Moviegoers snapped up tickets for superhero fantasy, animation, and sci-fi. Marvel's Doctor Strange was on top for the second straight week with $43 million. Trolls and Arrival round out the top three. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.